I'm Fresh, and you are now listening to The Breaks Podcast. These are highlights from our Saturday night hip-hop show on KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. My co-host Confucius Jones and I are native Austinites, and we love talking hip-hop. Texas hip-hop, hip-hop history, and what's going on right now. And just so you know, the opinions expressed in the podcast are our own and do not necessarily reflect the position of KUTX Austin.
We here to take over the airways.
This is the first time back. Last time we were back, you know, the election had happened.
Right.
Been certified. Well, not
right.
Certified so much, but decided.
It was up in the air still.
Yeah, and you were able to announce it last Saturday.
Right.
About the, you know, about Joe Biden winning.
Caught
the presidency.
Me all off guard. Didn't know what was going on. Didn't have the TV on. I was in here. I was on the side of the microphone that you are on over there with the board and everything. And I was looking across the window to paint the picture for everybody. Here at KUTX and KUT, like, it's a window that separates the booths, and I can see each host from KUTX and KUT can see inside the booth. So, like, I was, like, backselling. I'm telling people what songs were just played, and as I'm doing it, I, like, see the KUT host, Morgan, and, like, she got this shocked look on her face, and I'm just looking at her, and I froze, and I'm just like, what's going on? And she, like, give me two thumbs up, like, Oh, they called it. So I went on ahead and announced it. Then I cut on the TV, and then, boom, there it was on CNN.
Yeah.
Already nice and for me. And yeah. Van Jones was on there crying.
Yes. Nah, we ain't doing all that. But, you know, I will say I'm glad that, you know, it's kind of, it's over. Like,
Is it?
It's over.
We're not going to get into it, not this episode.
Yeah, no. But, I'm glad that we were able to. You know, have that finally move past that. So, right before we came on air, it was announced that, well, originally, the next verses from, of course, Swizz Beatz and Timbaland was going to be Young Jeezy, or Jeezy, he goes by Jeezy now.
Yeah, it's just Jeezy.
And T.I.
Right.
Which was going to be, which
I was looking forward to.
Yeah, well, because, you know, they're trap music legends.
Gucci, Jeezy running from the smoke, because T.I. was finna clean him up. Sorry, y'all. T.I. was finna clean him up.
I don't know.
He was going, man, big hits. He just got bigger hits.
He got bigger hits, yeah.
He got bigger hits. And I think he has bigger hits and more recognizable hits.
But right before we came on air, it was announced that that has now been changed to Jeezy versus Gucci Mane.
Yeah, man. Goo-wop in the snow cone.
2020 continues to amaze me.
2020 is a year.
So, for any of you guys that are listening that don't know, Young Jeezy, well, Jeezy, I'm going to keep calling Young Jeezy.
Young Jeezy.
It's like Jay-Z without the hyphen. I'm like, bro, it's whatever.
Yeah, I still spell it with the hyphen. Exactly. Then he went back to the, anyway.
But Jeezy and Gucci Mane came out around the same time. Also, with that verse, who can play So Icy? Jeezy ain't going to play it. Jeezy hates that song.
That's kind of my question.
Jeezy hates that song.
Man, that's the last time they were cool, too.
Exactly. So, they both came out around the same time. They did a song together called So Icy. Jeezy hates the song. There was some miscommunication about it or falling out about it, which led to the both of them making diss tracks about each other, which eventually led to somebody, Gucci Mane, being ambushed by people who allegedly associated with Jeezy. Gucci killed one of the guys, got off of self-defense. And so for all these years, this has been over, this is like, what, 2005?
Yeah, this is almost over a decade. It's
been over a decade. So since then they've just been bad blood between them ever since. Mm-hmm. They
kind of squashed it somewhere around like 2011, 2012, 2013, somewhere in that time frame.
But it was more of a, it wasn't so much squashing it. It was more of a, Jeezy was doing an interview and
Gucci got ambushed.
Yeah, drama called Gucci randomly. But so yeah, there hasn't been any type of traction with them being cool again. And Gucci Mane, you know, currently, famously now, has, you know, been reformed somewhat. You know, he's getting married, about to have a baby. He's not the same Gucci Mane he once was, like NBA Youngboy said, 2006.
I feel like I'm Gucci Mane in 2006.
But So this versus happening is very interesting.
Yes, I'm shocked. I personally don't think it's happening.
I do.
I just don't. Like, why now? Why, like, because allegedly Gucci was originally asked and he denied it. So now all of a sudden you want to do it? Like, what was the change that made you just like, hey, yo, I want to do it? Did he get paid? Like, well, I would think that would be the only thing that would change his mind.
Well, Gucci has said that he would only do it if for $1 million. And so I'm guessing, we said this off air, that either Swiss or Timberland convinced him, like, bro, yeah, we'll give you the money to do
they
it.
Went half.
Because they knew that this, like, Versus has set such a high bar for itself that if they were to pull this off, this would be probably one of the biggest Verses. Because these are two people, like I said, that have bad. Every other Verses has been, like, people that were cool or, you know. Everybody that's been, nobody had any issues, but.
And this is when I don't think people expect it to happen. I definitely didn't expect it to happen. I didn't think Gucci wanted anything to do with Jeezy.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. I feel like Gucci's in a place where, like, bro, I'm not going to acknowledge you, but I'm not going to ever be cool with you.
Yeah.
And I'm not 100% sure that if it does happen, that they're still going to be cool. Because Gucci Mane's caption was, tell Buddy that to be ready and, you know.
It was what, like, Gucci.
Trap God versus Gucci, Snow Cone.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm still content. Like, he does not like, I think he's at the space where, like, whatever everything that happened has happened. Like, I ain't finna dwell on it, but me and Buddy ain't cool. We ain't gonna never be as cool as we once were.
Yeah, we're not gonna be like Rick Ross and Jeezy.
Yeah, it's like, man.
I'm still mad.
We not doing
a
song together, bro. Why are you mad I said this song?
I was like, bro, I don't want to hear this right now. That song's hilarious to me.
That's the only reason why I sent it.
But yeah, I also wonder if it's gonna be set up to where they're in the same room.
That is interesting.
Because the last few verses, you know,
they've been in the same
room.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't.
I doubt it.
Unless there was something, because, like, even when Jay-Z brought out Jim Jones, Cameron at the last B-Sides, and when Jay-Z brought out Nas at the I Declare War show, it seemed like, because it was so random, that it just happened, but there was conversations that were had before that.
Right.
So I wonder if Jeezy and Gucci are having conversations now or have had conversations recently to where if they could now be in the same room.
I'm sure Timbaland and Swizz Beatz have been on calls or a call with Jeezy and Gucci and have worked out the finer points of this whole arrangement. I'm sure that they have, because I at least hope that at least one of those gentlemen in Swiss or Timberland are aware of what went on between the both of Jeezy.
I'm pretty sure they're
and
aware.
Gucci. And if anybody is to know, my money is on Swiss knows what went on. So I'm sure a phone call has been had. They've been conference call. They probably was group FaceTime or something. I don't know, a Zoom call, and worked out the finer points of this. If they are in the same space, that I just have to see the energy, because that's just going to be awkward for me.
Yeah. I'm going to be at work, so I'm going to have to kind of watch it best I can. So we'll see. I don't know, man.
That's just weird. That's going to be weird. It's going to be weird no matter what, because it's going to be like, who's going to play what? And, like, Versus has become this thing where everybody gives the backstory of how a song was made, like, who's going to play what? And then, you know, like you said, who's going to play So Icy? And how is that story going to be told about So Icy?
So here's, like, you know, when artists have issues with each other, like, okay, we could say Jay-Z and Nas, right? That was one of the most famous beefs in hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there were songs traded back and forth. You know, everybody makes the threats or whatever. But for them, it never got to a place where it got violent.
Right.
Like I said, Gucci and Jeezy, there was violence involved in that. So that's why I'm like, is this really good? Is this
on more than one occasion?
And I don't, because Jeezy had mentioned, when he did an interview at the Breakfast Club, he had mentioned that he originally wanted to do a Versus with Gucci, but Gucci declined it. And that interview was maybe a week ago. So that's why I'm like, what has happened in the last week or so?
That's what I'm asking. Like, why now the change for Gucci? Like, what happened that made you just say, all right, you know, I'll do it?
I'm pretty sure we'll get an answer at some point. Gucci Mane's he's not He's not a quiet person. If you ask, if somebody, if he does an interview between now and then, he'll answer why he did it.
Oh, I'm sure Swiss will have an interview, and he'll divulge, because I haven't really seen Timbaland do interviews and talk about.
And I've heard and known Swiss to be more of the bridge maker between artists. Like Swiss has done in the past is connected artists and said like, hey, like, you know, I want, like, if it's production or. So I'm pretty sure he was the one really like, hey, like, what needs to happen? What do we need to do for this to happen?
Yeah, like, so I'm sure something will be unfolded about what went down.
So, I mean, I'm interested to see how it plays out.
I'm very interested.
I'll be tuned in.
I will be too.
I'm also going to be tuned in to Freddie Gibbs, because I know he's going to be going off.
Man.
So, you know, last show we did like random hip hop facts. I like, you know, I like that.
Might keep that. Want to keep that going?
Yeah, even though I'm the one doing it. Not,
I mean, I didn't think of none. I was thinking something during the week and then forgot about them.
And when I say I'm the one doing it, it's not because I feel like you're, you know, you don't know your hip hop, because you definitely do. It's just that, once again, I collected magazines for like 15 years. So 15 years straight.
And
like, really I didn't miss a month.
And it's really hard for me to come off the cuff.
Yeah.
Like.
And so and a lot of times during the week, I just randomly read stuff. Still, because I just really like I love hip. I used to love hip hop magazines. Didn't like The Source though. I'm a big fan of The Source.
You know what? I never really read a Source magazine.
I was XXL guy.
I was too.
XXL and King magazine.
I think if you were a young black man at a certain point in time, definitely you were in the King magazine.
King magazine sometimes would have some good like musical selections though. I remember.
No, it wasn't a bad magazine.
In the thick of T.I. and Little Flip's beef, I count this as a random fact. They interviewed T.I. This right, I think right before Urban Legend came out.
Damn, random fact.
Of course, the interview and photo shoot was him with women, obviously. But he was in there saying, like, you know, he's just really trying to prove himself with this next album, which is Urban Legend. And he, you know, he has no issue with anybody. And he said, except Little Flip. I wish I could run into his girlfriend. So I was like, yo, T.I. Young T.I. was wild.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, that was what, like 2004? You know what I'm saying? But so, if we stick with the Houston theme, random fact. UGK Ride Dirty came out in 96, right?
Mm-hmm.
Album, random fact again, famously was the album that Jay-Z heard that made him want to ask them to be on Big Pimpin'.
Not a bad album to hear first.
Facts. So the song One Day You're Here features Outkast, UGK, and Mr. 3-2. Mr. Right. 3-2 was at one point in time.
The governor
was supposed to almost be the third member of UGK, but he ended up going to jail and didn't work out, whatever. Yeah. So originally, Lil Kiki was supposed to be on the song. So the story goes that Pimp C and Lil Kiki were going to the store one night, the same night they were supposed to record the song, and they got busted by the police. Pimp C ended up going to jail. Lil Kiki took out running and got away. But Pimp C ended up going to jail. And so when he got out, it ended up being, you know, Mr. 3-2 on the song. Also, what song was it? I think it was One Day. I want to say One Day You're Here. Bun B, he didn't mind doing the song, but he told Pimp C, look, if I do this song for you, I need a rappity rap song. Like, I need to really get on here and, like, you know, rap my ass off, basically. And that's where the song Murder came from.
I was about to say, that's Murder.
Which Bun B just ripped to shreds. Like,
yeah. I remember when Big Sean's Control came out. And, you know, Kendrick's verse lit up the internet. Even after it came out that Kendrick recited an entire Corrupt verse that nobody seemed to care about. Yeah, he recited somebody else's verse, but y'all gave Drake hell about reciting Raekwon's verse in a song. But anyway, y'all not ready to have that conversation.
Facts.
I remember the internet being like lit up that Kendrick had named all these people in the song about who he felt like he was in competition with, and he was, you know, he was coming to kill, and, you know, when I get on the mic with y'all and all of this madness. And I remember Bun B like getting on Twitter and saying, I understand what he's saying. That's why my verse in Murder is what it is. That's why I wrote the verse in Murder. That's why it is the way it is. And I remember people getting on there, a lot of y'all were going to Google Murder, and I was like, no. I vividly remember the verse. I vividly remember the song. I was like, y'all sleep on Bun. Oh, Bun been rapping for a while now.
Yeah. So let's shoot over to the West Coast. We talked about beef earlier. So the other day I was riding around. I listened to a lot of, like, when I'm in my car.
I got a feeling this is going in a certain quick direction.
Well, no, this is just interesting, because we're going to jump from, I try to do at least East Coast. every coast at least. So I was listening in my car, listening to Chronic, and you know, F with Dre Day came on. I said, this song is hard. It's a hard song, man. Like this, I'm glad that Dre and Easy, you know, worked it out, but boy, this was hard.
They was going at it.
So by the time you get to Dre and Snoop's second verse, they're going in on Luke, killing Luke.
Right.
And honestly, to this day, I don't know why they started going in. I don't know what Luke did to them.
I don't remember either.
I feel like it's been explained. I just don't remember at the top of my head.
I think it has been explained, but one, I probably was too young to really remember. And two, like you said, I probably remember hearing it in passing and just don't remember.
Luke was at, we're talking about Luke, the famous Luther Campbell of the Two Live crew from Miami. Yeah, so
Uncle Luke.
So for some reason, Dre and Snoop didn't like him. So keep in mind, around the time of the Chronic, Snoop Dogg's like 18, 19, young guy. And if, just like most of us 18, 19, I'm just riding with Dre. Like, this guy put me on, you know, that's who I'm with. So if he don't like you, I don't like you. So Snoop, finally, you know, getting a taste of success and moving around, ended up going to the Jack the Ripper conference, which is a famous music conference in Miami.
What was?
A lot of stories came out of Jack the Ripper conference. Man. If anybody's seen the NWA movie where Eazy-E's crew and Ice Cube's crew get into it, that's the Jack the Ripper conference. So Snoop Dogg goes down there. And Miami, once again, for context, Luke is from Miami. Who does he run into in Miami? Good old Luther Campbell and his friends, I should say, who immediately press Snoop and say, hey, bro, we don't know you. You don't want to know us. It's probably best you let it go. Not in those words, but, you know.
And correct me if I'm wrong. That's when I think Snoop, like, openly said, that's when he realized that, like, it's gangsters everywhere.
Everywhere.
It ain't that they not just on the West Coast. And I think he like only realized that, like a lot of people only realize that, think that because you only see what's in your immediate area.
Exactly.
So you from Long Beach, you from California, you from the LA area, you just see what go on in the LA area. But no, the same thing that's going on in your neighborhood is going on all across America, which is why I tell people.
Luke made booty shaking music that he was just gonna be laughing and joking. Luke was like, no, sir. What we're not going to do. What you're not going to do is get on the record and talk about me.
We do this to make money.
Exactly. We are from these streets for real. So, let's shoot over to the East Coast. Yo MTV Raps. Great show. First episode was filmed in Austin.
Yes, it was. Right in front of the Capitol.
By Fab Five Freddy. Yes. Before Dr. Dre, not the producer.
Dr. Dre and Ed Lover. Before him, they took it over.
So
Will Smith was on that episode and Run DMC.
Yeah. Exactly. They were on tour at the time, so that's why they were there. You imagine seeing that tour back then in like, 89, 90?
At the Irwin Center?
Man, wild. So, Redman put out his first album.
I knew that's where this was going.
And on there made skits making fun of MC Hammer at the time. MC Hammer is the first rapper to ever go diamond, which is 10 million copies. He's an Oakland native and apparently produced all those songs that came out on the first album. Please Hammer, don't hurt him.
And just never remember.
And so, Redman made some disparaging remarks. And on the Yo MTV Raps finale, you know, all the rappers were there for, you know, freestyle hanging out.
Freestyling, yeah.
Hammer was there. It also was Redman. Hammer, who everybody thought, because me and Fresh were talking, we were MC Hammer fans. MC Hammer made clean music. He danced around. You know,
look, my brother had an MC Hammer dog. We woke up every Saturday morning to watch the cartoon.
Which apparently wasn't even that long, but
it was like one season.
Our concept of time is way different than it is
now. It was one season.
You know what I'm saying? So, MC Hammer pressed Redman. Redman's from New Jersey. That's why this is the East Coast thing. Basically like, hey, bro. Because Redman made some conversations about MC Hammer's mother on those skits. MC Hammer basically told Redman, I know you like to think this is all fun and games, but we're not going to do. Let's talk about my mother.
Don't get the glittery pants fool you, bro.
Basically, I'm from Oakland. And these people with me, they're from Oakland as well. What we're not going to do. And Redman was like, you know what? Points were made.
it ain't all sweet in Oakland.
Don't think. Once again, MC Hammer famously, one of the reasons he went broke is because he had a huge entourage.
Yeah,
so I'm pretty sure all those people that he was paying.
Some 300 people.
Wanted to stay on that payroll.
I'm sure. And so, they earned their keep.
Exactly. You think they just dance. You might want to stop doing that.
We all from East Oakland.
Exactly. So let's all calm down here. And also, around that time, MC Hammer was running with Death Row. So that's what didn't help either.
Yeah, the whole Funky Headhunter. For those who are unaware, the whole Funky Headhunter, you know, pumps in the bumps. We like the girls with the pumps in the bumps. Yeah, he was signed to Death Row. And I believe Tupac was at the video shoot. Not in the video, but was at the video shoot.
Yeah, because I heard they were running around pretty tough back then.
It was pretty cool and tight and all of that.
Pretty tough back then, so Yeah, man.
Man, yeah. Spent $33 million in 6 months.
Well, Jay-Z said 30 million can't hurt me, so I like having 30 million can't hurt me.
He got really offended at that, too.
He really did.
Which I'm still trying to figure out why. Bro, you spent $33 million in 6 months.
Yeah, good point. I have no idea.
Like, you didn't even get a full year in.
I have no idea. So this is the last little fact out of here, random fact. So I want to say around 2010 at the golden time of blogging, as you know, being once a famous blogger yourself.
I'm flattered. Thank you. You said famous. You threw famous in there. I'm flattered.
I mean, that's how I found you. I heard about you before you heard about me, so that's what that tell you. But around that time, I was heavily on Two Dope Boys. I was on your website, Two Dope Boys.
I think we all on Two Dope Boys, right? It was, if you were on the internet and like into new music, you were on Two Dope Boys.
Traps and Trunks. And what else was I on?
I was on Dirty Glove.
Yeah, Dirty Glove. I was going to say them.
They were around at the time. I was on Not Right. The whole new music cartel. I was on them. Two Dope Boys, Not Right.
Let me say this. I like Not Right, but they were heavy East Coast, boy. Oh, God.
Yeah, I think they were based out of New York.
Yeah, they were based out of New York.
Yeah, like you heard that new was.
You heard that new was more Southern.
I was low key, but he was from New York as well.
But they were a little more Southern. I think he was also doing mixed. But if you were like the real, real Southern, that were Traps and Trunks and Dirty Glove. They were straight Southern.
Who else was New Music Cartel? On Smash.
On Smash.
Miss Info.
Which, if anybody knows, the original template, On Smash was a video streaming website.
Right.
And their original template is what World Star stole. So, yeah. So, yeah.
Look at World Star now.
Yeah, I know, right? Sending cease and desist to my job. But so I say that to say, around that time I was on Two Dope Boys. That's when Drake started kind of bubbling. That's why I started hearing about Drake.
Yeah, yeah.
So Far Gone to come out. So Far Gone originally debuted. It came out at once simultaneously on all the blog sites, but it popped up on Drake's web blog site, October's very own, which is what OVO stands for.
I was following that.
So OVO is run by Drake's friend Oliver. Drake never got on there. Like if that website's still up, which I don't know if it is, if you go dig through there, Drake maybe has a handful of posts, but all of it's Oliver. So one time I was on there and I saw a post with some half naked lady sitting in the corner, looked like she was drunk, and the cover was black and white, and it was by an artist named The Weeknd. I was like, what the hell is this? And so I listened to it, of course. Long story short, it was The Weeknd. The artist who will now be doing the Super Bowl this coming up Super Bowl.
Oh, I missed that news.
Yeah, I know.
And just to let you know, October's very own .blogspot.com is still up and running.
Still up and running. So, also apparently Jam Master Jay's daughter ran at one point in time, but that's neither here nor there. So I say that to say, people always say Drake discovered The Weeknd, which is fair because he was the artist, but it was Oliver that found him. Weeknd was posting music on the SoundCloud. And Oliver, because he was running a blog site, was secretly one of the most important bloggers at that time.
He definitely was.
Just like nobody knew it was him.
Like I said, I was following October's very own.
Yeah, I did too. And because Drake would put out Lucy singles on there sometimes before he just moved on to not doing it at all.
This kind of fits into my unpopular opinion for tonight.
See, there you go. So Oliver was actively looking for new artists, and he found a guy from Toronto named The Weeknd.
When you're a blogger, it's kind of your job.
Oliver also discovered Party Next Door. I'm not getting into why that's significant, but if you listen to the show more than once, you know why Party Next Door and The Weeknd's.
Or if you just pay attention to the culture.
Which probably plays into why they might not be the best of friends, because they both got discovered by the same person. But yet, that is my random hip-hop facts.
I mean, those were good ones. Those were good ones. Like I said, I had been thinking about them all this week and had some. But as the week went on and everything else transpired throughout the week, which we will talk about throughout the show, yeah, that just kind of seemed menial.
I tried not to, because when I do the facts, I really try to like...
I'll have some next week, though.
I try to not like lean too far to one side, because I can do Outkast facts the entire time. Like, literally. I can do Southern facts all night. So I try to jump around from coast to coast and see. So I did, south, west, east, north.
I'll have a few come next week.
But if it was Outkast, UGK, I can do it all night. Like, all night. It was one of my coworkers. She's from Port Arthur. And I was telling a random PMC fact. She was like, what, that's true? That would never happen if he was still in Port Arthur. I'm like, yeah, but he wasn't in Port Arthur now, was he?
So, and he knew better to still be in Port Arthur.
So, no. But yeah, that's Random Hip Hop Facts.
Stick around for more after this quick break.
So, on a more somber note, since we last did the show, up-and-coming artist under Lil Durk's Only the Family label, OTF, King Von, was murdered in, what was it, Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
Got into an altercation with some guys. And the security footage is out, so we're not saying anything that's speculation. Security footage came out and got into an altercation and ended up getting shot and dying later. It's one of those things where you hate to see an artist with a lot of potential and on the come up pass away. You never want to see an artist pass away, period.
Right.
And also you hate to give that stigma to rap, like, oh, it's just violent, everybody's doing so and so. King Von is one of those, also another one of those artists that, like a lot of the Chicago artists that come out of the drill scene, they were really from the streets. And unfortunately,
he had an issue with another
artist, yeah.
Chicago artist. And it unfortunately, which I think this is where Confucius was saying, it just came to a head. And it ended tragically.
Tragically, yeah.
He was young, man. He was 26.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, young. Like, had kids. That's always the sad part.
Like, what, two or three kids?
Yeah, they need two or three. That's the sad part when artists pass away like that. You know, you leave behind children. And it sucks because, you know, you get into the music to escape from the life that was dangerous for you. So to end up being taken away in a way that you could have just stayed in the streets and done, and that's also another tragic part of it. But T.I., I don't know what he got going on.
All right, I was prepared for this. Because this kind of upset me.
Yeah, huge T.I. fan. Huge T.I. fan. You know, me and Fresh.
Most definitely.
Huh?
I said most definitely.
We have sung T.I.'s praises a lot on this show. I'm still a T.I. fan. Like, even when Lil Wayne popped up with Trump, I was still like, you know what? I still like Lil Wayne's music. That's what he had to say at that. So, good for T.I. He took it down. T.I. made a post, I think the day after King Von it was murdered.
Oh, I don't know when it was posted.
Saying basically, like, don't come to Atlanta and bring your beasts here. We're a peaceful city and we won't stand for it.
Peaceful adjacent.
Yeah, I know. People took issue with it. People were like, yo, like, why would you speak on something?
As they should have.
Yeah, why would you speak on something and you claim to come from it? T.I. eventually said, well, I wasn't talking about the King Von situation.
As I knew he would.
He said, I've already reached out to, you know, allies and close people to King Von and, you know, explained to him it wasn't about that. But he took the post down, so clearly something was amiss. Waka Flocka, who recently said some things I didn't agree with, but I agreed with him on this one. He's like, bro, he said, because I came from that, I understand that mentality, I would never speak on it or look down on somebody from it. And I agreed 100%. Mm-hmm. Like, T.I. famously, and will tell you till he's blue in the face, that, hey, I come from the streets and I've done X, Y, Z. So it was very disheartening for him to make that comment. Like, don't speak on it.
And this is, as you pointed out, and as 50 Cent pointed out in his post about it, replying or responding, or somebody asking 50 Cent to respond to what T.I. had to say.
Like, yeah, King Von's sister.
You come from this, or you say you come from this. Like, so it's not about where they were. It's not like they, oh, yo, we're going to go to Atlanta, we're going to handle this. As we said, it just came to a head, and it happened to come to a head in Atlanta.
Yeah.
The person he had an issue, Von had an issue with, just so happened to be in Atlanta. They saw each other, and being from Chicago, and they did what Chicago guys do. That's in the streets.
Yeah, so T.I.'s exact words were, Atlanta is a beautiful, progressive city filled with black excellence. We uplift each other and win together. Stop coming here to kill each other. That stuff is played out management. It was a horrible statement.
Horrible.
Like, why would you?
That was insensitive. Like,
it's not like they went to Atlanta just specifically to, like, you know,
to hash that out.
Yeah, like, it just happened where it happened at. I don't care where I'm at. I could be in Santa Fe, New Mexico. If I get into it with somebody, I'm gonna get into it with them. Like, I'm not just gonna go to Santa Fe and finish this out. Like, no, I'm just,
you know what I'm saying? Like, that T.I.'s statement was just highly
tone deaf
and insensitive. And like you said, he tried to double back and say, well, it wasn't about Von, and I've already spoken to people close to him and family and allies. That's cool. And even if you did, that makes the previous statement even worse, that you spoke to people on that side and you still had the nerve and the gall to make that post, and not the wherewithal to say, maybe I shouldn't say this right now.
Yeah.
This isn't the time. Even if it was, if let's say it wasn't about him, it's just the timing doesn't look right. That just comes off really insensitive that this young brother just died in your city, and now you're talking about handle your beefs in your own place. Handle your beefs at home. Don't come here and handle it. Like, bro, that's just insensitive. That's just really insensitive, and I like to think T.I. is smart enough to understand that. And if he took it down, him taking it down, clearly something clicked in your head, was like, all right, I understand why people are upset after I read it back in the year.
Yeah.
I understand why they reacted the way that they reacted. I don't know if it was about the Vaughn situation or not, but the timing of it just didn't look right, and that was just really insensitive. And as somebody like T.I. who tries to pride himself and perch himself up on this pedestal about black progression, that wasn't the time. While children, a mother, siblings, friends, fans are mourning.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not the time to say that, bro. Like, you could have waited to say that. You just could have just like, you could have not said that at all. That just wasn't needed in that point in time. I was highly disappointed in Clifford Tip Harris.
Yeah, because like you said, it wasn't necessary. And you know, Sada Baby was interviewed by TMZ, ironically, and
yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And he was even saying, like, you know, even if you did, if it wasn't in pertaining to King Von's situation, you could have just waited like a week or so to put that out. Like, you put it out literally the day after. Like, why would you?
Like, just the time. Like I said, you T.I. is smart enough to understand. To like, which I would have hoped he was smart enough even in the moment to understand that, like, this may not bode over. Let me discard this. Let me just delete this. This is not right.
You have to let, and this is not even being from the streets. This is either being around it, like, you know, me, you can say, knowing people from it, you don't speak on street stuff unless you want to involve yourself in it, or you just, like, the only time you speak on street stuff is if you want to involve yourself in it, or you're a part of it. You don't speak on it if the opposites of those are true. I'm not going to speak on street stuff because I'm not in it. It has nothing to do with me. And I don't know what's going on. And like 50 Cent said, he was right. Like, there's people out here hurting and that will hurt you behind this.
Yeah, like, if some of them dudes from Chicago and from Vaughn's camp, like, was angry enough and they went back to Atlanta to come at you, then you would be feeling the way.
Yeah.
But, like, you spoke on they mans that just died, bro. Like, you just spoke on their peoples that probably was taking care of them and that was helping feed them and feed their families.
Not just that, somebody that they know personally. I saw, grew up with. Like, you're speaking on this, like,
very casually and very cavalierly.
A friend of mine, he used to be a radio personality in L.A. And shout out to Mix. I know he's not listening, but shout out to Mix. he told me famously when Tupac passed away or was murdered, he was on the radio at the time, and he had made the comment something along the lines of, you know, Tupac lived by the gun and died by the gun. He said this in Sacramento. That's where Mix was on the radio at. He said he immediately got calls from Death Row saying, not in these words, you might want to stop saying these type of things on the air.
You better get on there and apologize. The next thing you better be saying.
Like, you don't, because, you know, if you read any, like, the history, once again, random hip-hop facts, after Tupac was killed, almost a gang war broke out in Compton behind that. Like, people, like, went back and retaliated for that. It wasn't highly publicized, but yeah, people died behind what happened.
I don't think something the city of LA would have wanted to publicize.
Yeah, I know. You know, but yeah, it's like that. Like, you don't. And Mix told me, he was like, yeah, I remember on the radio, like, you know, you might be trying to speak, but y'all stay neutral in that type. Because
yeah,
but he's right. It has nothing to do with us. And I would make a comment on my social media. That's why I haven't said anything.
I didn't say anything at all, period.
Because at the end of the day, it's tragic. And, you know, I don't know the specifics of why, what happened. I just know somebody passed away. And that is the sad part about it. But, you know. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for our second segment of the night. Unpopular opinion with Mr. Fresh himself.
I know you're used to saying first segment of the night.
But yeah. I mean, the way these COVID cases are looking, we might be going back to the first segment of the night.
All right. Unpopular opinion. So, I want to say, I believe it was last week, I think I backsold some songs, and I mentioned those songs were part of the golden era of hip hop. And Confucius aptly, like, kind of corrected me. He was like, "Ah, now we had a whole conversation about the whole golden era. We had a whole talk about that." And rightfully, we did. We did have a talk about how we kind of feel like the golden era in which people define hip hop, that whole late 90s, late 80s, early 90s period. I really should have looked this up before I did this. But oh well, no way, forget it. Y'all know when the golden era is considered.
Yeah, true.
That's kind of not the golden era. Because, like, well, it's not the golden era for somebody who grew up, let's say, like, who was born in like 96. Like, that's not their golden era of hip hop. Like, and rightfully so, because they didn't experience all that was happening or care about what happened before 96. So my unpopular opinion would be the blog era of hip hop rivals the quote unquote golden era as the golden era of rap.
So, okay, for context, what is the golden era of rap in your opinion?
The golden era of rap, in my opinion, I would say would stretch from, say, like 88 to
92, 93.
I was going to say 95, but I'll go to 96.
You're not
going to
put 96 in there, but I you can.
No, I think things changed after 96.
You damn right they did.
I think after like 96, the landscape of rap changed. So I give you 88 to like 94. To me, that's golden era. That's, you got Snoop in there and all of that.
Yeah.
So like I put all of that into golden era. But the reason why I say the blog era rivals that era of rap, because a lot of people's, you know, reason for golden era, well, it was just the music, man. The music in the 90s, as if there wasn't bad music in the 90s. But the music was just so great. Granted, music in the 90s was great. It was great. We did get a lot of stuff coming out from 88 to like 94. It was great. It was great. The fashion was great. All of that at the time. At the time. And a lot of one thing that I hear is they would, you know, that was the most money that anybody had ever seen in rap. Yes, at that time. But every other era after that had made more money and was making more money. Then brings us to the blog era. I just think when it comes to impact and influence and the artists that came out of the blog era, yeah, man, it rivals the quote unquote golden era. I think the blog era is, yeah, I think you could easily put that in the golden era, especially, like I said, when you look at impact. When you look at impact and influence, the blog era set the tone for the landscape of rap, the music industry right now, but specifically for rap. The whole not needing a big single for radio play, that's the blog era. You had plenty of artists who were gaining traction and getting booked off shows with no radio single. A lot of y'all didn't know who they were. A lot of y'all didn't know who Mac Miller was. But guess what? Mac Miller was getting booked, and Mac Miller was popping. He was getting a million views, and had we been counting streams, he would have been racking them up. A lot of y'all didn't know who Kendrick was. But guess what? Kendrick was still getting booked. A lot of y'all didn't know who Nipsey was. But he was still getting booked and he was still moving. A lot of y'all didn't care for Currency after he left Young Money. But guess what? He stayed strong and he's an underground legend. A lot of y'all were unaware of Crit until like the re-release of Crit was here. And a lot of y'all didn't catch on to Crit until Return of Forever, which is still in the blog era. But my point is, it set the tone for the way that rap is ran now. This whole independent mind state that I'm gonna just stay independent, I don't really need the label. That's blog era. A lot of those guys were independent artists up until they got signed, up until the Crit got signed, up until Wiz got signed, up until Kendrick got the co-sign from Dr. Dre and ended up over there at Interscope. A lot of people were maneuvering independent, and a lot of artists weren't trying to be signed to artists. And if they were, they realized that it's more beneficial for me to be independent until something better comes along, i.e. Nipsey. Nipsey was independent all the way up until 2018. all the way well until late 2017 until he signed his partnership with Atlantic. But that was in his own time, and he had laid the groundwork and did the whole $100 mixtape, $1,000 mixtape, all without a label, and was touring all without a label and getting booked and making music and putting it out and doing it all without a label and creating his own buzz all without a label and all without a big radio record or a song that the masses know. Was still doing this, still made Double XL. J-Rock. J-Rock got the whole Wayne verse doing the blog era when he was running around with Glasses Malone and Nipsey. I know a lot of y'all forget that. He was the first one to pop off with TDE. It wasn't Kendrick.
Yeah.
Some of y'all get blinded by the greatness of Kendrick, but it was J-Rock. Kendrick was his hype man. Y'all forget that. He was the first one of TDE named a Double XL freshman back when it mattered.
He was signed to Strange Music, right?
He was signed to that. Yeah, his album "Come Home with Me" was signed to Strange Music. I bootlegged it.
Good album too.
It was a pretty good album. He toured and all of that. Strange Music is an independent label. So, like, the blog era, and then when you, let's not even get on the artists that came out. Like, I've already named Kendrick, the J-Rock, the J. Cole, Currency, Confucius' favorite rapper, Dom Kennedy.
Better cut your mic off.
He's a blog era. The Weeknd. Drake. I said Mac Miller. Who else is a blog era rapper or would be considered a blog era rapper? Oh man, Odd Future definitely was like
okay
pinnacle.
Let me say this though: Odd Future famously, well, Tyler at least complained that blog sites would not post them.
That is true.
So, but Odd Future kind of started their own blog, and that's how they got them. So yeah,
blog era.
But Tyler Creator hates the two.
I'm not
boys.
Talking about who was posting. I'm just saying the time period. Like, they came up during that time period. I remember when they put the first album out, and it sold 45,000 in the first week, and they were number one. That was huge, because they were independent. And it was like, you know, this independent group sold 45,000 records in their first week, and they got the number one album in the country. And the masses were catching up and was like, well, who are they? Who is Odd Future? But everybody that was on the blogs or on the internet, we knew who they were. I wasn't the biggest fan of them, but I knew who they were. I was well aware. And I did think that was a big thing. Like, that's when you started seeing, like, these people going number one. What the heck is that called? But that's when you started seeing these artists go number one with this small amount of sales compared to, like, the big chart-topping artists. They were beating them out. And rightfully so. The music was just great.
Yeah.
But, like, when you look at all the artists that came out, I think the long list rivals those that came out between 88 and 94. Because Quiet as Kept, a lot of what a lot of people don't want to say, it was a lot of one-hit wonders between 88 and 94. It's a lot of people that we know, but it was a lot of people who you couldn't tell me what the name of their first album was or tell me what they did after that. You just know that one song. Sorry, but Yo-Yo was a one-hit wonder. I couldn't tell you Yo-Yo's debut album. I know she linked up with Ice Cube, and I know she had the song "You Can't Play With My Yo-Yo." And then that's what I know Yo-Yo for. And then she popped up on like The Parenthood and some other stuff acting wise, but outside of music, I don't know what Yo-Yo did. But I think the blog era, right? I think the blog era is the golden era. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's that part of the show where we gain a little bit more. We get a little bit wiser than we were. What time is it? Say an hour ago. Here is Confucius Says with Confucius Jones.
So, this week was tragic for hip-hop. Dallas hip-hop artist Mo3 was killed in Dallas. What day was this? Wednesday.
Oh, man, yeah, around Wednesday, Thursday.
So I had to work. So, yeah, Wednesday. He was killed while driving his car. He was killed on the freeway. And, you know, immediately people, anytime something like that happens, there's always speculation about why it happens. And then today, Mo3 did a mixtape with Bootsy a couple years ago. And Bootsy, they had a candlelight vigil for Mo3, and Bootsy came down. to Dallas to pay his respects. Went out to the club last night and was partying. It's funny because I saw a video from the club that Bootsy was at, and everybody's like, shout out to Bootsy for coming out. And somebody said, yeah, coming out and getting that COVID. I said, yo, for real, the club is packed. But today, I guess Bootsy was, with his entourage of team, and his car was shot at, and Bootsy was allegedly, according to reports, shot in his leg. So once again, now all the talk about what's happening, what's going on, what's happening in Dallas, and because Mo3 has a issue with another Dallas artist named Yella Beezy, who was famous for That's On Me, and
who we just played him on a song with Danny Lee.
Yeah, and so people speculate like, well, Yella Beezy involved in all this, and what's going on, and Boosie getting shot at. And Michael Future says that is none of y'all's business. Once again, me and Fresh talked about this earlier in the show. When stuff like that happens, regardless of how it happened, there is, to me, a decorum and a certain way about approaching things. I don't need to know what happened to Mo3. It's tragic that man had children. I don't know what he was involved in. I don't care what he's involved in. I just know I like his music. I want to believe that Yella Beezy had nothing to do with it because he probably didn't. Like, they're both artists I enjoy. It's not my job to get on the air and turn into First 48 over here. Like, it's not Fresh's job to do the same. Let Dallas deal with the issues that they have within themselves. This could be way deeper than what we know it is.
And it probably is.
It's tragic because people are losing their lives. Obviously, when stuff like this happens, police get involved. But yeah, this is one in certain situations in life. Just learn to keep your mouth shut. On my social media, I've seen people say, "Well, so and so did that." And I was like, "Man, no, look, don't. We're not doing that. We're not. At least me and Fresh aren't doing that. There are issues within this city with people." That me and Fresh never speak on. Because one, it's not our business. It's not our job to speak on it. Because certain things are just meant to deal, to play out the way they want to. And also, me and Fresh, we come from and know people that come from certain places. And we would never look down on them and try to speak on things that they involve themselves in on a day-to-day basis. Because we could either went that way. I grew up with people that went a certain way. And so I'm not going to disrespect them or their well-being by trying to speak on things that are my place to speak on. And so my confusion says basically just learn to keep your mouth shut. The Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at kutx.org/The Breaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown.